Hey guys, welcome to episode number 12 of Let's Book Talk. Today we're speaking with Kim Dehoney. She is the author of the upcoming novel, Off Book, A Showmance in Two Acts, which is actually her debut novel. So we had such a great conversation talking about what this entire process has been like, going back to her different career changes within the realm of storytelling, which was very, very interesting, and just talking about what it's like to get into the headspace of, you know, releasing your first story into the world. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. I know I did. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kim Dehoney. Enjoy. So as I was getting ready to speak with you, you know, over the past few weeks, I was looking at the website and trying to learn as much as I could to write some, you know, pretty good questions, I hope. And, you know, I was reading that, you know, reading, writing, and just overall storytelling was a big part of growing up for you as a kid. So how did all of those things help you develop your passion for storytelling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to get into the, you know, my whole childhood trauma,
sure,
right off. But I grew up in a pretty restrictive household. And reading was just such a big escape for me. Like, yeah. I have this visceral memory of, I must have been in like fifth grade, like maybe I was like 10 or 11 or something. And an extended family member of mine got me the first book in the series that shall not be named. And with the caveat of do not tell your parents that you have this.
Right.
And I remember, you know, sitting under the covers late at night with a flashlight, reading that book and just being anywhere except where I was.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something about that has just like sparked this magic within me my entire life. And
yeah,
I just love it.
That's so awesome. And I feel like we all kind of had that experience of, there was always either, you know, whether you were a reader or you got really into movies, there was always that one that just got you hooked right away. And you know, from then on, was it always like your goal to eventually write something, or was that still, or were you not at that level yet of where you're like, okay, I want to actually, you know, write something of my own? Which I'll get into that in the next question. But yeah, was that something that started that early, or did it take a little bit for that to develop as well?
Yeah, I think overall, just since I can remember from childhood on, I've had an obsession, which is overall storytelling through many, many mediums.
Yeah.
So like writing is a big thing, and I have been writing since I was very young. But I also, like, I've had several career changes over my lifetime. And, you know, when I, you know, was a kid and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go to school and study something. I went through, I studied film for a little bit. I have a degree in technical theater. There were a lot of times where I was like, oh, I want to write movies, or, oh, I want to write plays, or now I want to write books. And so there's just kind of this, since I can remember, I've just wanted to, like, there's something about escaping your reality, something else that is just, piqued my interest my entire life. So,
So kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, you wrote your first novel at 16, which is incredible. What do you remember about that experience? And how did that eventually mold you? Like, how did that experience eventually mold you into the writer you would become later on?
Yeah, I mean, I started that project when I was like 15, 16. So I was a freshman in high school, and it was a YA contemporary fantasy. And everything that I did during that time has affected me now. But I worked on that project from 15, 16 until I was a sophomore in college. And then I shelved it. And after that point, I stopped writing for a really long time. And so a lot of the things that I learned in that, I still take with me now. And there's also a lot of things that, like, there was a big bonding thing with me and my stepdad. My stepdad would proofread things for me. And so that was really impactful. And then I also had a couple of things where, like, I probably wouldn't still be writing to this day if it weren't for a teacher that I had in high school when I was working on that project. Mm-hmm. Shout out Mr. Cooper. He was my freshman year science teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was working on this silly little fantasy book about pirates. He could clearly see that I was not anywhere in science class. And yeah. So if I finished my work on time, he would allow me to go use his computer in his classroom to work on my book. And
that is so awesome.
Yeah, I really owe a lot of people on my journey credit for getting me where I am, because, like, mm-hmm. it just sparked this interest in me where I could do it no matter what.
Right.
And so I also think, like, writing at that time, I had such a different perspective of it. As an adult, I got diagnosed with ADHD. And that was a big turning point in my life, because there were a lot of things when I was working on that project that I couldn't make sense, and I got frustrated with myself, and I gave up.
Right.
And then I didn't write anything for a very, very long time. And so now going forward in this project that I've been working on, looking back at my younger self, I look at her with a lot kinder eyes, because, like you said, like, if I saw a 16-year-old now and they said I wrote a book, I would be very impressed. But right. when I was working on it back then, I didn't feel like that.
What do you think it was about sort of how you felt back then versus how you feel now that you're able to view it that way, where you're like, that was such a huge accomplishment, and maybe I wish I would have viewed it as such when I was doing it.
Yeah.
But now, you know, and we'll talk about what you're working on in a second. Mm-hmm. But how has it been, like, looking back and seeing that growth now versus then?
Yeah. So I look back at that now, and, you know, I ended up going to school for, I have a AA in creative writing. Mm-hmm. When I was writing that, I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants, and I was just mm-hmm. using it as an escape. But the things that I learned doing that, like, it was so instrumental to who I am as a writer now. Like, it took up my whole life. Mm-hmm. Up until 16, until, like, how old was I at that point? Like 20. It was all encompassing. And I think that looking back at it now, I haven't looked back at any of the writing that I did back then, because I'm a little scared. But I know what it was like. Like, I remember the story. I remember what it was like to write it. Mm-hmm. And I think now I have a little bit more of a technical understanding of just, like, the writing process. So that has helped me going forward. But, like, the things that I take from that now is that passion. That passion for it never left.
So, yeah.
That's something that I have taken forward going on, and will probably continue to take forward going on.
And that passion is probably one of the most important things to keep with you, because, you know, I've spoken to a few authors mm-hmm. for the podcast already, and, you know, it always comes back to that of, you know, you never want to do it where it starts to feel like a job of, like, okay, I have to write, have to, you know, meet a deadline or whatever. If you keep writing it because you want to do it and you love it, I mean, that's the best feeling. And I'm sure, you know, it's kind of, I'm sure you felt that way at some points where, you know, everybody goes through their highs and lows of, I don't want to write, but I have to, versus I'd want to do nothing else today but write. So, you know, speaking of your current work in progress, mm-hmm. if you could talk a little bit about that and where the idea for that came about, that'd be great.
Yeah, so this project that I'm working on now is the most personal thing that I've ever written. Mm-hmm. It is a contemporary romance, mm-hmm. And it's kind of my first tiptoe into that genre, but it is very derivative from my college experience. So I have a degree in technical theater. I have been a theater kid my entire life. And there's just something about that community that I find so interesting, and that I think not a lot of people know or understand unless you have been a theater kid. And so the story follows, it's a dual POV. So it follows the stories of Olivia and Andy. They are ex-college best friends who had a falling out 10 years ago over a ill-timed kiss on a Halloween night. So 10 years has passed. Olivia is now a regional theater director in San Francisco. And Andy is now the music director at their alma mater. So the school is having some problems. So they do this summer arts program to kind of bring in some buzz. Olivia is invited back to direct their production. And when she comes back, she discovers that Andy works there now.
Right.
So over the course of that, they'll be putting on a musical and directing students. And kind of there's a lot of that camaraderie between like castmates and stuff like that. But along the way, they will also kind of rediscover the glory days sort of thing by going over a scandalous bucket list and writing their own musical together. So they'll be writing a musical together while directing something else. And they're going to just kind of, you know, oops, sorry about my pup. Over the course of this summer, they're going to rediscover what it was to believe in your dreams.
That is such a great premise. And I have to ask, when you were writing this, did you have any influences or inspirations that you kind of drew from in that genre for this story?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that like specifically like there are any books that I read that I'm like, oh, that's exactly what I'm like going for.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot. And so I've read a lot from fantasy to nonfiction. Sure. And so there are little bits and pieces that I take here and there from every story, but it is very inspired by my own experiences. I like to kind of pitch it like, you know, if we're talking like comp title kind of vibe. I would say that it is kind of a amalgamation of, if you've heard of Wildfire by Hand of Grace and the movie Pitch Perfect.
Okay. Awesome.
So, but yeah.
That's awesome because, you know, my favorite genre is, you know, I'm a big romanticy reader.
Me too.
Like I see Akatar and Throne of Glass in the background there.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
Like, yes.
Back there.
Yeah. So that's totally my vibe, as well as, you know, regular romance novels, like, you know, the Emily Henry books of the world and then Painter as well. So I was reading on your website again that, you know, this is your first sort of, you know, leap into writing in this genre. And what is it about the genre in particular that you like so much as a self-proclaimed, you know, selfless romantic or hopeless romantic? You know, what is it about romance that really connects with you?
Yeah. So like you said, I'm a big romanticy reader as well. I'm fairly new to the contemporary game, but there's just something about like romance in particular where that is kind of the meat of the story. I love a good romanticy because it's not necessarily the forward of the story. There's a lot of like that story that kind of keeps you in, whereas like a lot of the romanticy or romance genre is that's the story is, are these two people going to get together?
Right.
And you know, like you said, I'm a self-proclaimed hopeless romantic. Because I think there's just something so human about love and connection. Like, and at the end of the day, that's what storytelling is. It is shining a light on, you know, the human experience.
Yeah.
Love, grief, hate, whatever those range of emotions are. Like, there's just something about love and the connection between two people. And like, you know, there's different... The whole trope thing, if like we're overcoming being enemies to lovers, mine's obviously friends to lovers.
Yeah.
But like, there's just so much like nuance in human connection. And I find it really interesting to have different people from different backgrounds and how they overcome all of these things end up coming together.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I feel like, you know, because you have a photography background as well, you know, you're a wedding photographer and capture all those, you know, intimate moments. How has that profession helped you write this story? Because you're able to firsthand see, you know, a lot of, you know, probably the things that would help you when describing an emotion or describing a scene, you're able to see it in real life, and then I'm sure use some of those experiences to translate it into writing and into the story. So how has that helped you, not only with this story, but maybe ones you've toyed around with for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I started my photography business on the backbone of being a storyteller. I'm a self-taught photographer, and I've grown like to a successful business off of that. But I think kind of like what I was saying earlier, like my background is it doesn't matter the medium, it's finding those moments that tell a story. And I've been very, very lucky with my photography career to have the opportunity to work with so many couples across the world, from Japan to California to everywhere, that like having gotten to see so many different people from different backgrounds, of different cultures, different religions, and like seeing how different all of these couples are, it gives me like, it just, I don't know, it just fills me with this like sense of wonder and love. And one of the things that I do as a photographer is I'm constantly looking for details, you know, the little things. I consider myself more of a documentary and style photographer too. And so when I'm documenting somebody's day, you know, I'm looking at the jewelry they chose to wear that day. I'm looking at the things that, like, the people they chose to surround themselves with, you know, what they're wearing and why, the place that they chose to get married and the stationery that they picked. All those little details add up over time. And I take that into my writing as well. When I'm crafting a scene, or, you know, I like to look for the little things that they add up over time, you know, especially in a love story. Like, it can be easy to get just stuck in the two people trying to find their own way, but you also have to think about the things that are around them as well that help them get to that point.
For sure. And I think that's, at least for me as a reader, I feel like I always hi those are the parts of stories that I always highlight, are like those, under the radar, not so overt, little moments that are like, oh, okay, that's a really nice detail. And I think it just adds so much to the story. So, as you're writing this story and going back, as you said, it's, inspired by your own experiences. What's that writing process been like when you're writing a book like that, where you're drawing upon your own experiences of like going back to those times and like, oh, okay, can take a little bit of this and put it in the story. What's that like going, back on memory lane, so to speak?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. So, obviously the college that they go to is based heavily off of where I went to school. So I went back into, yeah, my old Facebook memories and old photos, and just thinking about the time that I spent there. I mean, obviously it's fiction, so the characters are not based on anybody. They're all made up, and everything, more the setting and kind of the vibe of everything is based off of what I did. But I have put in many little details that are specific to things that I did, shows that I worked on. I was a stage manager for a really long time.
Oh,
So
wow. Awesome.
lots of little details about that sort of stuff, because, you know, maybe you're a reader who picks it up and is not super familiar with like the theater scene, they're not gonna know what it means. The people who know will know. And so it's been really fun to look back on all of that sort of stuff. I really do feel like this project is kind of like my love child. It feels very personal to me because there is so much of, I spent, you know, 10 plus years of my life thinking that I was going to work in the theater space, and you know, life is different and it has gotten me where I am. But it has been really nice to go back and look at something that I view with such reverence and nostalgia.
So how does it feel now when you're, at some point going to release this story out into the world? What's that feeling like? Because again, I've spoken with a few authors where they've worked on something for so long and you have that ownership over it that once you let it go, you're like, okay, it's kind of like when your kid goes to college, you're like, all right,
Yeah, exactly.
you're out on your own now. Whatever happens, I've kind of have to do my best to sort of live with. Have you thought about that at all? Has it been something that you're kind of like, okay, I'll think about it once I get there, but I'm sure it has to creep up at some point.
Oh, I think about it all the time.
Okay.
Like, particularly because this is not the first thing that I have written. In between the YA book that I wrote and this project, I also I have a minor in poetry, and so I have actually started querying a collection of poetry. So I've gotten to a point where I was ready to put something in the world before and then didn't. So like for me, this particular project feels different because I'm ready to put it out. I feel like it's been years and years of getting to this thing where it's like, I love writing, I love storytelling, but like nobody has ever really gotten to hear what I have to say. And when I started working on this project, it just maybe because it is so personal, but it took off in a way that I was like, oh, like this is the thing. So, like, I'm ready for people to read this because I love it so much. I love the characters. I love the setting. I think that it is just such a fun story that I want people to experience it. I want people to get the same rush from reading something that I have written that I get from I read anything that I have behind me. And so while it is nerve-wracking, particularly because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, that's kind of scary, but I also have a really supportive group of people around me. My best friends from high school, who I did theater with for many, many years, have been helping me on this process and kind of reassuring me. I'm moving into the beta reader process right now, so it's people are actually starting to read it. And I've been getting good feedback, and that feels fun and good. And then I'll be sending things out on submission later this year, so I'm ready. I'm
That's
excited.
so awesome. I feel like, once you get those first few pieces of feedback and they're positive and they're great, I can't help but imagine that you just want that day to get here so much sooner, where you're like, let's just release this thing. Let's put this out there. For those authors that are in a similar situation where they're getting to the stage of having beta readers, of for their own idea of what is ready for them, of putting that story out there, what advice do you have for them to not pull back and just say, okay, I think this is good. If I think it's good, I'm sure other people will too. And to not let that bit of fear and anxiety maybe to keep them from doing that. If you have any advice for those people, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, fear held me back for a very long time. As I mentioned earlier, I didn't write anything for 7 years. I thought that I was done with this part of my life and I gave up. There is a part of this kind of work where you do have to have a little bit of a tough skin. And in some ways, you might have your feelings hurt. But if you know that a lot of there's such a balance, especially in this beta reader stage, where like some of it is just going to come down to personal preference. Somebody probably will like, I started working with a critique partner who, they had next to no like notes essentially. But then I'm working with somebody else who has a lot of, deep critique. It reading is so subs like readers are going to be so subjective. So you have to have an understanding of what is important to your story and what's important to you. Keep that kind of tucked in your chest so that you know. And then everything else, take what you need and leave the rest, There's gonna be things that are really helpful, and it's good to have an open mind for that sort of stuff. But things that aren't helpful, you don't have to take them. I think the biggest thing is overcoming that fear. And like the other biggest thing is that like there's no like your timeline for this sort of thing is completely your own. Like it's never too late. Like you can wait 7 years and then the right story comes along and then it's time to go. So take your time, guard your heart a little bit, and somebody out there will love what you've written.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where everyone, as you said, everyone kind of does it at their own time. There's no, you know, roadmap of, okay, you have to, if you started it here, it has to be finished by this time, has to be out. You know, you do it once you feel like you're on that path of going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Now, for you, how has TikTok helped? Because I know that, you know, a few authors, I've been asking this question in the past couple of episodes of, you know, just seeing like how being on BookTok specifically has just helped not only to, you know, grow a reader base, but just connect with people that otherwise, you know, you probably wouldn't have been able to, and who like the same stuff that you read and are writing. Mm-hmm. How has that helped you in this entire process?
It's been game changing for me.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, other writers out there can probably attest to this, that it's a bit of a lonely process. Mm-hmm. Like, you're holed up at your computer for hours, months, you know, like years on end working on something. And having a community of people beyond the walls of your room is great. Like, it's been really cool to share kind of my journey, because I started my TikTok like around the time that I started, like around the time I had finished my first draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, you know, maybe there's other people out there who are in a similar boat, and we can kind of do this together.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really cool to find other writers, but also to find other readers and people who just love stories and love books. And it's been really nice to help not feel so alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's gotta be such a great, you know, you mentioned that having a support system earlier, I feel like having that support system online has become so beneficial these days.
Yeah.
And it's great. You know, I always say that this community specifically has been so welcoming, and I rarely see anything that is, you know, can even be thought of as anything that's like a little weird or off base versus some of the other social media platforms. So that's been awesome to see. And, you know, I've been making it a point to just read the books of the authors that I'm interviewing, and my goodness, it's been some of the best reading that I've done.
Awesome.
So it's been really, really great.
Yeah.
So Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, if you can tell people where they can find you online, where they can sign up to be a beta reader, if that is still open, mm-hmm. and anything else they can do to support you, that'd be great.
Yeah, so you can follow me on TikTok. That's kind of where I'm doing most of my writing stuff right now. And that is just my name, KYMDEHONEY. On TikTok. And then if you're interested in wedding photography, you can find me at Kim Dehoney Photography on Instagram. And then, yeah, if you'd like to sign up to be a beta reader, you can do that via the link in my bio on my TikTok. And I can send that to you too if you'd like. But yeah, that's going to be happening pretty soon. So yeah, I'm really excited.
Awesome. Well, Kim, again, thank you so much. And for everybody at home listening, please support Kim, support everyone on the on TikTok and everybody writing, because it is not an easy thing to do, and
yeah.
It can take a while, but I am always so in awe of all of you that are writing and just creating these stories that we all read. So I'll be putting all of the links for you guys to support Kim in the description of the episode, and anything else that will help you guys find her work and support her. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Thank you.